Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Quick Slants, the podcast, is presented by Nissan. Go to ChooseNissan.com today for great offers on all Nissan vehicles. That's ChooseNissan.com. Today on Quick Slants, the podcast, Devin and Jason McCourty, from Puerto Rico, the Intercontinental San Juan, where I sat down with the twins in the midst of a goodwill tour to let folks see just how much this island has rebounded from Hurricane Maria. This trip and a clinic that the fellas did on Saturday was sponsored by Planet Fitness Puerto Rico and the Intercontinental San Juan. We speak about a number of different topics, including the twins' decision to continue playing football and kind of the realization that their football mortality is staring them in the face, but realizing too that there's a lot left to do. Here it is. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Jason McCourty, Devin McCourty. I'm Tom Curran. We're down here at the Intercontinental San Juan because the McCourtys were good enough to come down here for a goodwill trip to Puerto Rico, the Intercontinental San Juan, Planet Fitness Puerto Rico. They combined to kind of open up the island for us to come down and spend some time with the kids and send the message that they are open for business. But let's talk a little football if we could. And you made news towards the end of the week by finally wrapping up the drama. Jason, I'm gonna let you answer it. Just straight
drama. What's my motto? No publicity is bad publicity. I don't know about that, but either way,
all pubs good pub.
He got me intertwined. I'm over here answering retirement questions, and I never said anything about retirement. But this guy wants
people assume if you go 0-16 and then you win the Super Bowl and you're 31,
that's it. It's a wrap.
This guy wants to. I guess he wanted to make headlines in the offseason, and that was probably the best way to do it. So,
but it was interesting. In speaking of guys from Sports Spectrum, you mentioned not just the reason you wanted to come back being that you wanted to continue to play, but also to keep the program going, to mentor the younger players who are already in the program. That was important to you. And that stuck with me because, you know, we talked about this a little bit. This is a program, unlike other teams in the NFL, where there's continuity that goes with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady all the way through over a 20-year period. Do you feel almost a responsibility to pass that tradition forward?
Yeah, and I think even more than the winning and those guys, when you get an opportunity to be in a locker room, like when you see guys like Keon Crossan come through or J.C. Jackson, like these young guys that come in with just pure ability. Keon comes from a small school. J.C. went to a couple different schools, and they come to you and they're just trying to like show me the way to be successful in the NFL. And I think once you develop those pure relationships, you actually enjoy coming in each year saying, who's going to be the rookie this year?
Right.
Who's going to be the guy? And I think one of the coolest experiences for me this year was in training camp coming in and me and A.J. Moore. And A.J. Moore having a twin brother who redshirted, so still had a year of school left, C.J. And he said to me and Jay, was like, man, I always looked up to you guys. We wanted to be just like y'all. And once one of us redshirted, we knew our story to be similar. And you don't get that if you're at home sitting on the couch. So obviously I still enjoy playing. But, you know, I think that part of the game that people don't always get to see is very valuable to me.
Now, Jay, you're a free agent. So you're going to have to decide where you're going to be. Are you going to say, I'll go anywhere at this point in your career? Or are you going to have a narrow frame of where you'd want to play?
We'll see. My wife will have a lot of say in that as well. But I think first and foremost, if I could be back in New England and all of that works out, that would be awesome. It would not have to be the consecutive year that I've had to move my family.
Right.
So that would be an advantage. But at the same time, you realize how much of this is a business and how much of it doesn't dictate on, hey, I just want to play here with my brother and the guys that I built a relationship. there's so much more that goes into it. So for me, it's kind of just letting it play out, letting it all unwind and seeing, you know, when March rolls around, where everything's at. And at the end of the day, we'll look at where the opportunities are and make the best decision for our family.
So probably March, once free agency starts, other people will start because the league, you're still under their auspices. But once that starts, offers will come in. Do you expect a quick decision, or you don't have any expectations?
I would say no, I don't have any. You know, I spent the first 8 years of my career in Tennessee, never saw a free agency, and then 10 days before the draft, get released by Tennessee, thrown in a free agency. And I feel like I kind of got, you know, shafted a little bit on my free agency experience that year because the team waited so long to release me that by the time I was a free agent, 10 corners had already been picked up, and it was kind of just the bottom of the barrel left of trying to figure it out. So I like to make a decision before April for sure, so I don't get stuck in that same boat. So we'll see how it all unfolds.
Is it amazing that we're already at this point? I mean, you just got here, man. You just showed up, and we're already talking about retirement.
It's crazy, I think, especially because we're so fortunate to play so late in the season.
Yeah.
That questions come at you, and like, you know, as much as he's kind of like, I want to relax, enjoy the offseason, I mean, mid-March will be here, free agency will open so fast. But as you complain about those things, we all want to play in the last game of the year every year. So I'll never take that away and never act like that's a bad thing, especially when we win it. It's the best thing.
As you're doing this, does it seem like, I mean, when you look, now, who knows how long we're going to be here, but say you go and get to 80. If you play 11, 12 years in the NFL, it's going to be like a hiccup in the course of your life. It's just amazing how fast this goes.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
I can still remember my rookie year and feeling like it was just yesterday. And now you're on the other side going into year 11, and it's just like you can really sit here and say, well, if I don't play well this year, this thing is over with, and I'm going to be retired. And I think that's why it's important while we're in this league, we realize that football is not who we are. And we start to figure out off the field, you know, who we are as family men, husbands, fathers, and things of that nature, because that's where your legacy is going to be left. Yeah, one day down the line, we'll come back for a Super Bowl 53 reunion and all of that.
Yep.
But no one's going to care about what you did in that game years from now. It's going to be who you are as a father, who you are as a husband, who you are in the community.
I'll come back for 49 and 51.
Maybe they'll have me come present or something.
Yeah.
Like come welcome in the 49. And what is the number?
Presenting his twin brother who was a part of the 49 team.
I never even remember any of the Super Bowl numbers. The only one I remember is 53.
See? What kind of hardwired you guys to want to be, to use this platform? Like, at what point did you say in your careers, you know what, I can do some of this stuff. I can be active in social justice arenas. I can make a bigger difference on kids. When did the light go on for you? Was it at Rutgers?
Yeah, I think we did a good amount of stuff at Rutgers.
Hospital visits,
Special Olympics, different things like that. And I think you kind of moved as a team, moved you and told you different opportunities. And I got to New England, it was the same thing. The team had opportunities. But probably like my second year, his third year was like, man, we could move exactly how we want. And I truly feel like God has given us this platform in the NFL to do these different things. People talked about this week where we could be anywhere, we could visit this country, but like we decided to come here because to me there was a bigger impact to come here and vacation and do some work than anything I could have done in this time period. And, you know, speaking of, like you just said, you play 11, 12 years, that's such a small time. I think God tells us that as athletes, that you have to do more. You have to be out there and experience more. Because if you just do that and that is all that sums you up, it's going to be a pretty disappointing, you know, stretch after 35, whatever you want to, after 45 maybe for Brady. But for the rest of us, mid-30s, that's a long stretch with, hey, guys, I was a guy that played Super Bowl 49. Remember? You want to watch that film? You know, it'll be all fuzzy by that time because we'll be watching some super high quality.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it is. It's amazing. And I look at Mayo as being just really a standard bearer for being aware that there is an expiration date on your career, but enjoying the career while you can. Mm-hmm.
Everyone needs his phone number and email. As they're retiring, like, hey.
We'll pass it on to
Mayo. Them. I need all the blueprint. I need the bullet points, everything.
I'm telling you, it's just Because, and I think the NFL has done a much better job of trying to prepare guys, or at least affording the opportunity for guys. If you want to take advantage of it, we're going to help you transition into life after football. And but you have to take advantage of it. It's just like anything.
That's true. Very true.
I wanted to ask you, we mentioned Rutgers a little bit. Greg Schiano is going to be coming in. What was your experience? We don't have a full announcement yet on what his role will be, but what was your experience? What were your experiences like with Greg Schiano at Rutgers, and what would you expect here?
He's a very tough coach, big on discipline, big on doing things the right way. So it seems as though he'll fit, you know, right into the New England mold. So he's a guy that comes with a lot of experience, a lot of success. I remember when we first got to Rutgers, him just turning that program entirely around and then leaving on to go become the head coach at Tampa Bay and being a defensive coordinator at Ohio State. He's a guy that's been a lot of places and been able to develop success everywhere he's been.
Yeah,
I would say definitely, definitely that.
Without a doubt.
I think the first thing I realized when I got to New England after leaving Rutgers that I was ready. Like, I was ready for the long meetings, the long days, turning my time management into studying film. So I would say he made us very pro-ready. Obviously, I don't know how it'll be him, you know, as a coach in the NFL with us in New England. I've never experienced that. I had him as the strict head coach that you had a ton of respect for when you left, even though you probably hated some things. But you realize when I got to New England and other guys was like, man, this is too hard. I was like, shoot, this is easier than when I was at Rutgers. And, you know, I've always had a great appreciation for him, not really caring how we felt as, you know, little 18 and 19-year-olds, but making sure he prepared us and made us ready if we were able to make that jump and, you know, outside of football.
Does he have a style in terms of calling defenses, if that's
the college? Well, I mean, I know what our style was. I guess that was almost 11 years ago, so I don't know, you know, what he's evolved in. I can't say that I followed, but we were very aggressive when we were in school, man-to-man a ton, blitzing all the time. So I have no idea.
Like cover two or blitz.
Yeah.
Love it.
Cover two, blitz.
I have no idea what he'll be like now. But
but you guys are suited for that. You showed it in the playoffs. You showed it against Kansas City. You showed it against against the Rams. You know, you guys are well suited to play that style.
We were more impressive doing it in the Big East back in the day, if you want to check that out.
Oh, of course I do. Who's your biggest rival when you guys were on the rise at Rutgers?
West Virginia. 0-5 all
never
time.
Beat them.
Never beat West Virginia?
Shannon never beat them.
Whew. I'll bring that up the introductory press conference. Yeah,
tell him it came from us.
No, tell him it came from him.
How much will the defense miss Brian Flores? How much will you guys miss Brian?
Flo was a great leader, great mentor, I think. For me, I had a really close relationship with him and his family. Just because he was my position coach. I've gone over his house for Thanksgiving before, met his mom and dad, his brothers. So you definitely miss him. You know, I think it's the same thing we talked about last year when Matty P left. You have a guy that's been a stable part of the organization for all of those years, a guy you could count on, you know, week in and week out, and then they're gone. But it's a part of the NFL, and I think that's why we always talk about building relationships that go on past football. Being able, like, whenever I'm in Miami, I'm going to text Flo, you know, what you doing, you want to hang out? He'll probably be busy, you know, your head coach now. But I think, you know, that's a part of football, preparing and being ready for those changes. And New England, like no other, like any other team, will have to be prepared, and I think we'll be ready to go when it comes.
You also got Josh Boyer's heading out, Brendan Daly's heading out, so there's some change on the coaching staff. Does that in any way make it vital for you guys? I mean, I don't think you stuck around because there were coaching staff changes, but as veteran players who've been in the system for a while, it will help, I would imagine, that you guys can help with that continuity as the staff goes through some changes.
Well, as players, we always hope that brings more value.
Right. Good point. The more you can do. Yeah. Coach McCourty, Coach McCourty.
The one thing I am accustomed to is coaching changeover. That's been the one consistent throughout my entire career, where Dev has had more or less the same coaches. I felt like every 2 years, it was kind of like musical chairs. We were always rotating, new defensive coordinator, new defense, new. So, like, that's the one thing that I am accustomed to. And I was on one team for 8 years, but it felt like four different teams because you have four different head coaches. So, like you said, that's the one constant in our league has changed. But it seems as though when you talk about New England, when you have three defensive coaches leaving in 1 year, it seems like it's just world rocking because there's so much continuity and consistency year in and year out. So it'll definitely be an adjustment period.
What was What has Steve Belichick been like as a safeties coach in the course of time? You've been, how many years have you spent with him, both you guys now?
As a position coach, three years.
As a position
years,
coach, and then?
And I want to say it might be 5 or 6 years overall when he first came and did quality control. So it's been cool. You know, it's not often like you get a coach that comes in that's younger than you. So I guess that either shows I'm old or, you know, Steve came in really young. And for me, it's been cool because you just seen how he's grown, how he's taken more control of the room. He's felt, you know, more confident and comfortable because he walked into a different situation. He came in with three safeties that were older, you know, that had already played and were veterans. And I thought he's done a great job of, you know, now getting to the point where he's just coaching us. Doesn't matter, you know, what year we're in and all of the accomplishment. He's just coaching on what he thinks is the best football and how and his expectation for us. So it's been unbelievable just to see him grow and turn into the type of coach he's been so far.
Because it's got to be hard, too. You know, you have that, oh, is he coaching here because he's a good football coach, or is he here coaching because he's Bill Belichick's son? I don't think after this period of time and the success you guys have had, especially in the last 2 years, especially this past year, no one's really regarded he's Coach Steve or Coach Belichick or whatever, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. And at the end of the day, that's our society. Who you know helps you to get to where you are, but how you sustain and how you maintain there is off your own merit. So a coach like Steve, multiple Bryans there as well, they're both extremely hard workers, guys that come in day out. I mean, they have an advantage. They've been learning that type of way for so long. So they come right in and they dive in and they know exactly what it is. And Steve's a guy that everybody talks about because he's a position coach. He has obviously some really good safeties in his room. And Brian's a guy that I've seen since I got there. I knew who Steve was because he went to Rutgers.
Yep.
I didn't really know Brian. And every time I run into Brian, he's working or he's doing something. He's always on whatever you need. So between both of them, they're two really good coaches and guys that are only going to grow.
Yeah,
I tell them the hardest,
Brian Belichick.
The hardest thing for both of them is they sound just like their dad. So Steve always says, I know guys are tired of hearing my dad's voice, so I'll speak less.
The corner's room, the corner's room is right next to the safety's room. And I say that to them when I first got there. I'm like, yo, I can hear Steve, and I swear Bill is over there getting at you guys during the course of the meeting.
Is he a yeller, Steve? Because he's so soft-spoken.
No, he's not really a yeller. He's not.
I want to ask you, over the course of time, there have been any number, in my time covering the team, there's been any number of quote-unquote distractions. Now, I don't want to minimize distractions because there have been occasions when there's serious tragedies, whether it's Teddy Bruschi in 2005 having a stroke or Aaron Hernandez, but things crop up that are away from the football. And, of course, this past weekend with Robert Kraft's situation in West Palm Beach, something else has cropped up. How does the team approach, again, to put it in a football context, a distraction? I'm not minimizing that there's a serious situation that he's dealing with, but how does the team approach it and process it?
Yeah, I think the team does a good job of separating football and a personal side. Like you just said, you spoke of like when the Hernandez situation happened, like there wasn't a guy in that locker room that was like, I don't care. But we realized the same way anybody else, once you have to go to work, you have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how the team's always been, whether it's the whole Deflategate nonsense and whatever else you want to name it. When Tom got suspended in the beginning of 2016, you can see that as a distraction, or Julian gets suspended in the beginning of this year. But when the team comes in and it's time to work, we just work. We don't care who's there, who's not there, what we have to do. We kind of see everything as like an injuries happen. We don't know who's going to be there.
It's like with Josh.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah.
We don't know who's going to be there. And even though like the personal, you care about it and your personal time, you might reach out or help out and do what you can. When it's time to come in and play football, that's our focus. We have goals of the day, goals for the year. And I think guys understand like that's what I'm going to focus on. For one, to make sure I keep my job and to have as much success as we can.
Is it weird to be in? We're in it, me as a media member. Dev, of course, is a bigger, more in it as a member of the team. But now you're in it and you're seeing just the swirl around this team at all times of attention, controversy, coverage. Is mm-hmm. it not controversy? But you know what? It's such a focus.
It's always something.
It's always something. And if it's not something, we will find a way to create something.
Yeah.
So is it weird to see it from the inside, how it works?
it's been interesting, you know, hearing about it for so long from the inside, from another perspective, or watching TV and hearing about it from that perspective. Now this year, kind of get my own perspective. It's been interesting. And I think Bill talks about it all the time whenever, like, distractions or different things come up, is whoever's dealing with it, you allow them to deal with it. There's no comment that we can make on somebody else's situation that's gonna help it, hurt it. It just doesn't do anything to it. So if another guy's dealing with a certain situation, you just say, like, hey, I'm talking to him, communicating, I'm wishing him well, and I'm hoping everything works out. But there's nothing I can do to help the person. So I think handling and looking at it from that lens kind of helps to minimize it in your world, because you have your own responsibilities, priorities that you need to take care of. But it is crazy. I mean, even OTAs, I come in the locker room and I'm just like, there's just so many reporters, and I'm just like, then you make it to the Super Bowl, and it's like each day is just growing and growing. And we're down in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. One of the media guys that I was cool with, that worked for the Cleveland Browns, is there, and I'm like, dang, everybody just comes to this one central location as the teams are just knocked off. So it was definitely eye opening for me.
When does the process for 2019 begin? You've got to do something to recover your bodies. You just played however many games, 19 games. Had a training camp prior to that, throw in the four preseason games.
Well, only three for you. I played in the four.
Yeah, you had to play late, too.
But I played more snaps than him this year.
Good point.
Their fault.
Be that as it may, you're both old now. So how do you recover? What do you do now?
You know, I think right now is just trying to let my body heal itself. As players, we're always trying to do something to help our bodies feel better. But sometimes you just got to let your body heal on its own, you know, sleeping well, sleeping in a good bed, and doing those different things. And then slowly we'll start getting into working out and conditioning. And, you know, as you get older, you just kind of bring it in waves. And we'll be ready to go by the off-season program.
And you?
Yeah, this has been different for me. I had already been working out typically for about 3-4 weeks now. I would start up, you know, right as soon as the Super Bowl was getting ready to get played, I'd start my, because I had already been off for about a month.
So you can't sit just there resting. Until March. Yeah.
So now it's just like, right now, probably when we get back off this vacation, I'll start to hit in and start to get ready for the upcoming season.
It's one of the most amazing things about this run for this team is, you know, for instance, Tom's played 40 postseason games. It's a season and a half. You know, two and a half seasons of extra football.
It's crazy.
And to have it so compressed every offseason, mm-hmm. and to have a small staff to begin with, whether it be scouting or coaching, mm-hmm. it is amazing to maintain. It's harder.
That's what was crazy. Everybody was like, oh, he's not an offseason program. I'm like, y'all realize this guy has done so many seasons and postseasons, offseason program. Like, if he needs some extra weeks to be with his family, his kids again, like, that makes perfect sense. Like, guys, I don't think people actually realize, like, when you finish in February, how fast mm-hmm. that mid-April date comes. And guys live all different places. So, you know, it changes. You know, you have to be in Foxborough to go to off-season program four times a week. Like, you can't still be somewhere else. So I truly understand that when guys are like, man, I want to be there, but I just need this time to be with the family.
And Mayo has said in the past, it feels like, look, you're either going to come to OTAs or you're out.
Or you're out.
So we don't want to have a guy come in Tuesday and Wednesday and say, I'm actually flying out. So that's part of it, too.
You see, it all worked out this year.
It did all work out. Again, and that to me was another level of, okay, we were spending the time last offseason. Mm-hmm. At this point, Tom was talking in his documentary about, you know, you got to find the fun, and you have to find your motivation. If you can't do that, you better figure it out.
Yeah, last offseason, Bill and Tom couldn't stand each other from that.
And Lane Johnson told everybody we didn't have fun. Yeah.
But see, the good thing is they were, whatever differences they had, and I don't think that it was contrived, I think that over the course of time, guys can bump up against each other with whatever. They pocketed it. They figured it out, in my estimation. You're closer to it again than I am.
That's a higher up level, though.
I know.
That's like the, you got to be 15 and up to get on that level.
15 years and up?
You're quickly approaching.
You guys are quickly approaching, and we're happy to have you. So you think you're going to make it to 15 years?
Ooh. I don't know about that. Well, Slater, though. I like Slater. I told
you like
Slater,
Big Daddy Slates?
I like Slate to match his dad. They'll both be in the 20 club.
Hey, this has been great. I appreciate you guys coming
down here. You.
I know Puerto Rico appreciates you.
Yes, sir.
And it's been a great visit. We'll probably hear more from these guys in the course of the offseason. But for now, let's wrap it up. Say goodbye to everybody.
Quick slants. Over and out.
See you guys later.